Welcome back to Rolling With The Radio. It's your girl, Honey Beauty. This is episode 6. Today, we're going to be talking about When They See Us, which is a 4-part docuseries on Netflix about the Central Park 5 case. And I just want to correct myself right now because the Central Park 5, in air quotes, is the name that the media gave them and slandered those 5 exonerated men with. We're going to say their names. They should be known from now on as the Exonerated 5, and we're going to say their names. Antron McCray, Kevin Richardson, Yusuf Salam, Raymond Santana, and Corey Wise. It's important that we say their names. It's important that we speak the truth about what's going on. I also want to apologize to y'all for the episode being a little late, but as y'all know, life gets in the way, and I'll be on my I just want to let y'all know right now that it just took me 50 times for me to be able to get that little part down. So I had to take a little break and get me some alcoholic lubrication because it seemed like my damn tongue wasn't flowing correctly. Like, I just wanted to let y'all know it's a struggle. It's hard producing these shows the way I do it because y'all know I gotta try to go above and beyond with anything. But yeah, I just wanted to let y'all know my daily struggles. But yeah, back to the topic of the subject is going to be today. Today we are talking about When They See Us. This docuseries is damn epic. Like, it will have you going through so many different emotions during. It's only 4 parts, but when I tell you, you will go up, down, cry, scream, get mad, cry, get happy, smile, cry some more. Yeah, it's a lot of crying. I know y'all heard me say cry a few times because it's a lot of crying. Like, because it is just so despicable the way that the shit played. It's not something that I feel like is out of the ordinary. The system is corrupt. The system ain't made for little black boys. So that's what happens. But we're going to dive in a little bit deeper. I got some commentary from some people, from some listeners talk about it. I'm going to read some comments that some people left me about how they feel about it. We're going to get down to the nitty gritty. So my question to you is, are you ready? Linda fucking Fairstein. We're going to talk about this little heifer, this little demon, this little, like, she was the prosecutor in the case of the Central Park jogger case, and she just went above and beyond the call of duty in order to crucify and make it that these young boys who were innocent went to jail for it. She didn't care what she had to do. She was going to get her 5 black boys to blame this on. She needed 5. She going to get 5. Y'all listen to this because this is a part of the docuseries. And it's just disgusting. But this is how it works on the inside. But y'all listen. Just listen up.
I need that whole group. I have some of them and descriptions of others, but I need all of them. Every young black male who was in the park last night is a suspect in the rape of that woman who is fighting for her life right now. I want units out strong. Come on, guys. What did we miss? Let's get an army of blue up in Harlem. You go into those projects and you stop every little thug you see. You bring in every kid who was in the park last night.
First of all, like, I'm from Harlem. This incident happened when I was 1. But this is what happens. Like, this hit me so much because them same Central Parks that they ran through, the same, I used to run through that. And it's like, she didn't care who. She said, go round them up. Every black boy, every little thug you see. Anyone, any little black boy fit the description. That's damn near the whole Harlem at that time. So her agenda was to just place people in these slots, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. She didn't give a damn. She wanted an army of blue in Harlem. That just make me feel some kind. I'm a true Harlem representative, born and raised. got Harlan running through my blood. That just make me sick to my stomach. It's like the racism. Every little thug, every little brown boy. Man, we gotta protect our brown boys. This is just an in-depth look on what goes on. It still goes on today in 2019. If you think that this same agenda that she was on is not still going on right now, you are highly, highly confused. This could have been a man in my family. This could have been one of my brothers. This could have been one of my cousins. This could have been one of my uncles. This could have been anybody. Anybody, one of your loved ones. I know that this might be somebody who's listening, who one of the exonerated five are a part of the family and had to suffer through this. It's sad that this is what goes on. You don't see, they not going in the suburbs and say, round up every little skater you see. Every little young Billy and Bob. No, this is a fucking agenda that they was on, that they are still on. If this not opening your eyes, y'all, this not, and everybody's like, oh, well, why are people taking it so seriously now, this, that, and the third? Listen, it was always an uproar feeling about it. But now we just got more in depth. Now the younger generation is up in more of an uproar about it because they're not going to stand back and allow it to happen how it happened back then. So they're going to speak on it. So it don't matter if people spoke on it then or they speaking on it now. The fact that we speaking on it because it's injustice, and injustice needs to be spoken on. It's so many other things that we need to dig into as well. But we got to start somewhere. Say their names. Antoine McRae, Kevin Richardson, Yusef Salaam, Raymond Santana, and Corey Rise. We're going to keep saying their names because they are innocent. They were innocent the whole time. All right, we're going to get into some of what the listeners had to say about the situation. The first person that we're going to hear from is Shaniqua S., and this is what she had to say about When They See Us.
After watching When They See Us, I was completely heartbroken. It definitely slapped me in the face, as well as others, of the reality of what has happened in the past, what can happen in the future given the correct opportunity. And it hurt like hell. A lot of the people are looking to blame the parents because of what happened, but honestly, at that day and time, 1989, when everything occurred, minority families were more concerned with getting through the day, getting a job, working, making money to feed their families, rather than, as we are, be woke, where we don't have the same concerns as they did before, and we are definitely more privy to what's going on in the world. We definitely lack the ignorance that they had regarding the laws and what you're able to do. Whereas that could have never happened in 2019 to someone who is aware of what's going on now. Here as we have social media and every other opportunity to discuss these things, they didn't have that. They didn't have those opportunities. And the justice system took advantage of what they didn't know. I hope that this just opens people's eyes to what's going on in the world. Even today, I'm just so proud of those five men who, you know, they overcame this. They stayed strong. They had hope and faith, and they made it through everything that they did, which I'm sure they still go through struggles, but damn, it's so many of us, millions of us, that would have folded and probably been dead by now, but they're still here today to tell their story, and that's nothing but commendable. Definitely praying for them regularly, because that is some hell of a story to tell and even harder one to live through. I'm damn sure I'm not that strong. Hopefully in years to come I will be, but at the age that they were, never. Never would someone just be able to take it on their chin as some of them did. I'm so glad that Ava DuVernay had the strength to, you know, put this foot forward. Yes, in the past there were documentaries about what happened with the guys, but nothing with as big of a platform as Netflix, where there's millions of people and social media there to back this, where everyone is knowledgeable of it. Like they say, you reap what you sow, and karma is gonna backlash every last one of those people. I heard today one of the detectives passed away this past week, and he was met at those hellish gates. But you know, everything isn't about hurt or pain, you know, or seeing them in pain, but they definitely put these men and their families through some of the harshest truths of the world, and they'll get their day. They'll get judgment day will come for each and every one of them. But definitely just praises and blessings to those men. And I definitely don't want to continue to refer to them as the Central Park Five, as Ava DuVernay stated. That's the name that the media and hateful people gave them, and that's not who they are. But thank you, Rolling With It Radio, to give me a voice and speak my opinion on this. Love you, T.
Thank you, Shaniqua, for that opinion and for the shout out. As far as what I agree and I disagree with some of the stuff partially. I mostly agree. The part that I disagree with is that the parents didn't know any better, because I do feel like they did know. Like, for instance, Yusef Salam's mother came in there and took her son out of there before he signed them papers and said, no, y'all not going to do this to my son. I'm going to call this. I'm going to call that. So even though I do agree that it was different times, and our people, as far as in the Black community, we were, you know, more so focused on just the everyday, day-to-day, keeping food on our table, keeping a roof over our head type things, I feel like they did know. Like John Leguizamo, in his part that he played, one of the fathers, he was just so eager to just, oh, I got to get to work. I got to get to work. And understandable, yes, you have to keep a roof over your kid's head, whatever. You have to keep food in your kid's mouth. That's wonderful. But leaving his son there with his grandmother, who did not speak English, was just like sending him to the wolves. Like, work shouldn't have been more important than being by your kid's side. So that's why I don't agree. I feel like that's bad parenting, because work should not come before your kids. Other jobs can come. And yes, you may have to struggle for a little while. You may go through some, but look at what the end result was of you choosing work over being there for your son. Or Michael K. Williams' part, where we'll get more into that a little bit later on into the episode, about the way he handled his son and handled his situation. It's like, it could have been done better. I feel like if people would have just used their head a little bit more, it would have been better. It wouldn't have been like, I don't have kids of my own, but I would never put any job in front of being there for my kids. So that's the part I don't agree with. Everything else that you said, I agree with, Shaniqua. But that part, I just can't get jiggy with, because it's like, fuck work. This is my kid here. And at 1989, these people, the parents of the Exonerated Five, they knew how the cops got down. So to leave your kid there for the wolves, for just anything, is wrong to me. So that's the only part that I disagree on. But every other part that you said, I definitely agree on. Now we're going to dive into some opinions from this question that I asked. The question that I asked was, who do you blame and why when it comes to the When They See Us situation? My first response came from Harper S. Her response was just simply racism. I asked why, because I said my initial question was, who do you blame and why? Because I don't just want it to be a blanket statement. I wanted people to get into depth. So when I asked Harper S. why, she said, I didn't see the movie on Netflix, but I remember the story growing up. They needed to blame someone, so they snatched those black boys up and took away their rights. I definitely agree with Harper's opinion. I also told her that she should watch the Netflix docuseries When They See Us, because it gives you a little more insight, being that she didn't see the series. So thank you, Harper, for your opinion. The next opinion comes from Marquita D. Her opinion about my question that I asked for When They See Us, who do you blame and why? Her opinion was the system, white people. And once again, I want people to get more in depth, because even though those two facts that she just said are true, I want more in depth. But her answer to that was, I don't think I need why. If you've seen the movie, it's self-explanatory. White people are why. She said white people, rich white people are why. They always are why. Marquita D, you know, I agree. I mean, I agree to a certain extent. I feel like that wasn't really in depth, because you can't just say seeing the movie is self-explanatory, because if people didn't see the movie, they would still need to know why. But white people in the system is definitely a part of why. It definitely is. Like, you know, to be, you know, I told y'all that we're going to have some unpopular opinions, and this might be an unpopular opinion, but it's the truth. Because of who runs the justice, quote unquote, justice system, which are mostly white people, mostly rich white people, the 1%, is why things go about how they go about. But thank you, Marquita D, for that opinion. This next opinion comes from Jenna C. And the question that I asked was, who do you blame and why when dealing with the When They See Us situation? Jenna C. says, along with the justice system, I think their parents did as well, especially Antron's father, more worrying about his job than his son confessing to a crime he didn't commit. And Raymond's dad for worried about being late to work and leaving him in a room with a grandmother who didn't speak English. Those boys didn't have a chance in hell. Genesee also said, let's not forget, ultimately, it was in the hands of 4 white jurors, 4 black jurors, 4 Hispanic jurors, and 1 Asian juror who made the ultimate decision in the fate of these boys' lives by finding them guilty for 4 specific races controlling their outcome. Genesee, I definitely agree with what you're saying. Like I said, you agree with me with the blaming the parents. I blame the parents. I blame the system. I also, like you said, I blame the jurors too, because the jurors, you know, what, no matter what color you are, black, blue, purple, orange, you should have some damn common sense. And the shit didn't add up. The evidence didn't add up. Nothing added up. It was a bunch of BS. And for them to sit back as part of the jury and just to accept that as true when there was plenty of reasonable doubt, because when you're in a court of law, you're supposed to be prosecuted without any reasonable doubt. If there's any hint of reasonable doubt, then you shouldn't be guilty. And those jurors saw reasonable doubt and still decided to prove them guilty. So thank you so much, Genesee, for that opinion. My next opinion comes from Tamisha P. She said, I blame the system. Those kids should have had their parents there with them before they were interrogated, point blank, period. Tamisha, you are so right. The fact that that was even going down was beyond me. I know personally that it would have been a dub. Like, I'm not saying nothing. Like, I'm not, especially not, you know, a kid or not. Like, at that age, like, no. I'm not saying I raped somebody when I didn't rape it. Do whatever you want to do to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm different. But there's no way that I would just admit to rape. Like, come on. Really? This is not robbery. This is not beating somebody up. This is not, because yes, they were in the park and they were doing, you know, maybe harassing some bikers or something like that. But I doubt that they were beating people up and things like that. Harassing people, okay, teenagers do stupid shit. But rape? That's a whole nother level. So, yes, I definitely agree with you, Tamisha P. They should not have been there at all without their parents, but it happened. The next opinion is from Delilah A. She said, if it had been a black Hispanic female jogger raped and left for dead, the cops wouldn't have been so determined to find quote unquote justice. Racism is the fault and the ignorance of the people. Delilah, girl, you done hit it on the head. You done hit it on the head. It would not have been such an uproar if the jogger was not a white lady, was not a white lady with affluence or a white lady, period. Like you said, Delilah, if it was a black or Hispanic female, it would have just been barely looked into and left alone. It wouldn't have been this whole hoopla. It wouldn't have been Trump taking out ads and papers to try to bring the death penalty back. It wouldn't have been none of that. It would have been just swept under the rug, a little case that's under the rug. It wouldn't have been none of this. So I definitely agree with you, Delilah. It would have not have been such a big thing if it was somebody of another race. So thank you for your opinion, Delilah. I want to thank everybody who gave their opinions today. I really appreciate it. It's really important to me. I want to hear from y'all. I want to hear what y'all got to say, right, wrong, whether you agree with me or disagree. If you disagree, we could have a debate. I like a good, healthy debate, but thank y'all so much for sending in y'all opinions. Keep sending them in. Keep on supporting. Keep on rocking with me at Rolling With It Radio. Next, we're going to get into this part of Antron McCrae's interrogation and how his father played a big part in him going to jail for years. So I want y'all to listen to this and just let it sizzle in your damn spirit.
How long you been at Imperial?
5 years now.
That's a good job.
Yeah, it is.
Good benefits, good pay. Supervisor know about your past, Bobby?
I mean, you know there ain't been no trouble since I've been there. 5 years.
Well, he knows you did time, right?
I mean...
This is a perfect example of the corrupt-ass NYPD leveraging people's livelihoods in order to do some corrupt-ass NYPD shit. Like, what do that man criminal history got to do with anything?
It don't really matter, because that's behind me now. I ain't been in no trouble.
Maybe not, huh?
Don't you talk some sense in your kid? We both wanted to go home tonight, right?
Right?
Yeah. Get up.
Did he just not turn into a whole fucking slave? Yes, a master I was, but I just don't know. I don't know. Really? Are you fucking serious? And then the detective told him, you want your kid to go home tonight, right? But we know we talking about a rape. So how dumb the fuck can you be to think that your kid is going home tonight for admitting to doing a rape? Like, fucking really? Really? And then he's like, get up. Like, I'm a whole grown ass man. You a whole grown ass man. You're not going to be talking to me like this. But this goes to show you that fucking slave mentality, he turned into a runaway slave just there. That slave mentality is what'll get you caught up. Y'all better break the fuck free, because this is what made him do exactly what he about to do right now. Listen to this fucking part. Bitch, I know you lying. First of all, me and my dad would have just had to scrap up in there. God rest the day. It wouldn't have been no way I was agreeing with my dad. And Antron was, he was pushing back at first, but then he skipped. But no, mm-mm. If it was me, Dad, sorry. You, then you say you did the shit then. Not me. If I gotta do what the police say, you do it. You're not about to jam me the fuck up. I don't care how old. I'm telling y'all, I'm not saying that, you know, that these people were stupid or whatever, if they didn't know or whatever, but ain't no way in hell me and my father would have had to scrap it out. Because my father, my mother, whoever, I'm not admitting to no goddamn rape. No way, Jose. And then he want to get all rah-rah like a monster at the end. I don't give a shit. Throw a chair. He threw a chair. Throw a chair. Throw all the chairs. Throw my ass. Whatever you got to do. Just know that I'm not about to say that I raped no white lady in Central Park. You could throw the whole fucking building, Dad. It's not happening. Not happening, Captain.
These police will mess us up. They're not playing. They're not. Look, when the police want what they want, they will do anything. Do you hear me? Anything.
Here we go with that slave voice again. But even though he hit the slave voice, I do agree that the police will go through any measures to fuck us up and lock us up as black people, as minorities. I do agree with that. But turning into a runaway underground slave is not going to stop them from rounding your fucking son up. So even though the police will go to extreme measures to make us as black people look guilty, look bad in the eyes of society and all of that, that still should not trump your fucking common sense that allowing your son to say, yes, I did this rape, was fucking stupid. Rape and going home don't even add up. Ain't no going home when you did a rape. Ain't none of that. Like, really? And here we go with the goddamn guilt trip. John's father tried to guilt trip him. Oh, you don't have no son. You don't understand. It don't fucking matter. Don't try to hit me with the guilt trip, Dad. Don't try to hit me with the guilt trip. And then the screaming at the end. To intimidate me. To do some shit that you know I shouldn't be doing. But you don't want to lose your job. He did all of this so that the cops wouldn't fuck up his good, quote unquote, good job that he had. So instead of them, you having to look for a new job, you just let your fucking son get taken into the system. I don't agree with that shit at all. That guilt trip, that lying, that bullshit, that mad, that being scared like this guy's your master. Man, 1989 or not, people had better common sense than that back in 1989. Don't forget that we were already... There was already Malcolm X's and Martin Luther's at that time. So it was some woke people. But obviously, Antron's father just cared more about this good job that he had than his son, which is fucking despicable. Now we're just going to jump into some of the media propaganda, because how the media portrayed these five boys is how society received them. If you put out a narrative that these are five animals and they come from the land of the animals, then that's how people are going to take it. If they don't know no better, if that's what's being printed in the newspapers, what are people supposed to think? So just listen to how they described the five boys.
It's been 6 months since the boys were arrested in the Central Park jogger case.
Police believe the gang confronted her here, then dragged her 200 feet into the woods where the assault took place.
A 28-year-old woman hitting her with fists and rocks. Four of them rape her and leave her there.
Suffered two skull fractures, extreme blood loss, and hypothermia.
Hands were found near.
She will not remember that she was viciously attacked.
Doctors say the odds that the patient will recover are still stacked against her.
Details didn't matter because there was no script. But they were coming downtown from a world of crack, welfare, guns, knives, and indifference and ignorance. They were coming from a land of no fathers. They were coming from the wild province of the poor, and driven by a collective fury, brimming with the rippling energies of youth, their minds teeming with the violent images of the streets and the movies. They had only one goal: to smash, hurt, rob, stop, rape. The enemies were rich. And then, need another for emphasis. Their enemies were white.
Like, bitch, I know you like.
Media propaganda at its finest. Look at how they are, like I said, portraying these boys as animals, come from the land of no fathers. They come from the wild west, just raping and pillaging and raping. Last I checked, the motherfuckers that do the raping and pillaging is the Caucasoids, not a bunch of little boys from goddamn Harlem. But the way they describe them, if you describe anything in such depth with such vivid meanings, how else is somebody supposed to take it? Those words just painted the picture of a monster. So of course when they print that and these people read it, they're going to, oh, these monsters. And it was all lies. It was not true. Because the guy confessed to doing it in jail years later. But this is what they putting out there to society. This is what the media, that's how the media controls people's thinking, by putting these things into the air, and then it flies away and it just everybody catch it. It's a damn shame. He's thinking, the word, they were rich and they were white. Yes, because it has to be old, scary black man and just whimsical, light and fluffy white woman, damsel in distress. Everything when it's white against black, it's always the black people are the evil monsters and white people are the scared damsels. Get the fuck out of here. Y'all do the raping and pillaging. The people who put them stories out and paint the pictures of these people are the ones that do most of the goddamn damage, because you warping the minds of the people. It's a damn shame. Now, this next clip that we're about to hear is one of the clips that stood out the most for me during this whole docuseries, because I have a personal connection to the situation. But I'll get to that a little bit later. I'll give y'all one of my Hunter Beauty Chronicles. But listen to this. This is a focal point of Yusuf Salam and Corey Wise when they got picked up. This is one of the most important parts of the movie.
Hey, you got ID?
Huh?
Yeah.
Idea I have is my bus pass.
Well, let's see.
Fits the description.
Yep, Yusuf Salam. 16.
What, in 11th grade?
Yeah. I'm actually 15.
We'll graduate high school next year. You're telling me you're 15?
He skipped some grades. And I changed the birth date on that.
How come?
I was trying to impress some girls. We'll go with 16. Come on. Come here. Come here. You're 16? Huh?
16.
What's your name? Corey Wise.
He's not on the list.
Take him. You want to go downtown with your buddy? We'll be right back. Yeah, so, your mom's gonna kill me if I don't, so. Come on. Hey, go ahead. You're a good friend, you know? Sticking with your buddy.
There's so much triggering things in that clip. The whole, he fits the description. That is something, that is a tool that corrupt police use to basically just bring in innocent basically black kids or minority kids. He fits this description. He fits the description. He fits the description. Of every black boy, their task was to pick up every black boy. So, of course, he fits the description of every black boy. But, really? And then, you 16? That is so triggering to me. But I guess there's a law. I believe that there's a law in New York State that once you become 16, you can be tried as an adult. So I've seen personally police like be thirst to pick up a 16-year-old so they can put them through as an adult, and that they just won't go home with when a parent comes and pick them up. Because once you're 16, they could put you through bookings. They could put you through the system. It's sad. It's sad. But then Corey Wise, poor Corey Wise, he was just trying to be a good friend. And he is going to end up in a horrible predicament for trying to be a good friend. And that is just so sad. I'm sorry, I'm not that good of a friend. I'm not coming down in the cop car with you, friend. I will meet you at the station. I will make sure I do everything I can, but I'm not. No, I would have said, sorry, friend, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell your moms what happened and then we'll come down there later. But I'm not going. But this is just so, so sad. But this is going to lead into one of my Hunter Beauty Chronicles. So that's what we have coming up next. Okay, guys, now we're going to get into one of my Hunter Beauty Chronicles. Y'all know that I told y'all before that I'm going to have one of my segments be, you know, called Hunter Beauty Chronicles, where I give a story, a personal story that relates to some topic that we're talking about on the show. So my Hunter Beauty Chronicle for today that relates to When They See Us, the Netflix 4-part docuseries about the Exonerated Five, because I told y'all we're not calling them the Central Park Five no more, the Exonerated Five. The clip with when Yusuf and Corey gets picked up, how my Hunter Beauty Chronicles relates to that is because those police being so adamant with the, oh, you 16? Oh, you 16? Oh, yeah, we'll just say 16. Being so, so eager for those boys to be 16, because I believe in New York State that once you become 16, you can get tried as an adult. So, I've had personal experience for which that happened to me. So, sorry to whoever this make mad, but this is my, I was young and I was dumb and this is what happened. And I'm going to tell my truth. I'm going to speak my truth. I ain't ashamed of my truth. But, yeah. So, the whole, oh, are you 16 dealing with the police? I remember being 16 and in high school. And it was Halloween. It was that Halloween of the year that I was 16 or whatever. On my way to school, on my way to high school. So my school normally didn't have metal detectors. We were like one of the schools in the whole like New York City that didn't have metal detectors at the time, because every other school had metal detectors. But Halloween was a day that they knew that kids did mischief and different things like that. And we are in the hood in Harlem. So I guess this day they decided, this Halloween, they decided to beef up security. And they decided to get some hand metal detectors. They decided to get some more security. So when I walk to the door, I see that there's more security. Now, dumb me, I said I was dumb. I was 16 and I was dumb. I had a knife in my bag. It was a steel knife from tip to end. I didn't have it to use it on nobody. I honestly just liked the aesthetic of it. And I just wanted to, I was 16. I just wanted to have it to show it off, to just say, to just feel like I have it. I wasn't planning on using it on nobody. I ain't that crazy. But I get to the door. I knew, I'm like, oh, shoot. They checking. For stuff. They checking bags. They checking. They scanning people to make sure you don't got no weapons. So stupid me goes and asks one of the most delinquent students in bad behavior students that there could be that went to my school, like, because I knew that he dibbled and dabbled with doing stupid shit. So I asked him, like, yo, I got this knife, but I don't want to throw it away. It's, I like it. So what should I do with it? So he tells me, oh, just put it in your sleeve, because they only check in book bags. So stupid me, I don't know why 16 stupid carrying a stupid weapon for no reason, just to try to be cool. Had the knife. I listen to old stupid. I puts it in my arm of my coat. They're not going to check the arm of my coat. They're just checking bags. I get online. I see they got the hand metal detector. So I'm like, oh, shit. This is metal. This ain't going to be good. By that time, it was too late for me to do anything. I was already online. I was already like damn near next up. I couldn't turn around because that was going to make me hot. So I just walked up, opened up my book bag as normal. When they went to scan it, now mind you, the lady that was scanning me was one of the security officers from my actual high school. And she was one of those robocops. Like, she took that security job so serious. So now that it was Halloween and we had actual officers in there and beefed up security, I guess she wanted to show off. So she scans my arm and it beeps and she goes and she feels it and she's like, cold blue, we got a shank, we got a shank. Like, it turned into this whole fucking melee. Then they took me, they took the knife. They had me sitting there in the front entrance of the shit, handcuffed, looking stupid like an idiot. And then there was another kid who I guess was from a junior high school in the area who had got caught trying to sneak in too. So they had him cuffed up sitting there. But the reason why this story is relevant to the part where the police pick up Yusuf and Corey is because that same, oh, are you 16? Because the cops came up to me and they asked me, they asked the other kid from junior high school, like, oh, how old are you? And the kid said, oh, I'm 14. The cop literally said, oh, you're going to go to the station and then you'll go home. And then they asked me, they said, well, how old are you? I said, I'm 16. And they got this sinister look. The same look that they gave, the same voice. Like, when I said I was 16, like, they got excited. Like, oh, yeah, you coming with us. Like, excited to lock up a 16-year-old girl for doing something dumb. I hadn't attacked anybody. Granted, you know, it was stupid as hell for me to have it. I don't take away from that. But to see the joy in their eyes when I told them that I was 16 and to see the smirk on their face when they say, yeah, you coming with me. That's why it was so triggering for me to see that part, because I lived through that, because they treated me at 16. I got handcuffs. I got taken to different police stations. They took me down to bookings. They treated me just like a piece of shit. They treated me like a grown animal. But that's how it was. That's how it was in Harlem. So that was my Beauty Chronicle story of me being stupid ass 16-year-old carrying around a knife and getting caught with it and getting locked up with it. But the moral of the story is, man, my personal opinion, NYC, NYPD is corrupt. The New York City police are damn corrupt. I've seen it since I was a teenager. I still see it to this day. So it didn't really surprise me when I saw that part of them picking up Corey Wise and Yusuf. But it triggered that feeling in me, like, damn, like, that pit of my stomach feeling that I felt when they were so excited that I was 16 to take me, to put me through the situation. So that was my 100 Beauty Chronicles. Anybody who listening that love me, don't judge me. I was stupid. I ain't stupid no more, but, you know, you live and you learn. So that was a 100 Beauty Chronicles for your ass. Out. I'm going to talk about Corey Wise right now because I feel like his situation out of all of them, well, he got it the worst, because not only was he not supposed to be there and he just got picked up because they needed to have pieces fit into the puzzle, whether they had to mash it and rip pieces off to fit it or not.
He was literally there to help his friend, got caught up in it, and got done the dirtiest because he was 16 at the time and the rest of them were under 16, so they were able to go to juvenile hall and get out earlier when he just had to go straight to big man jail. Corey Wise persevered so much for trying to be a good friend. Shout out to you, Corey, because like I said, you a better friend than me because I wouldn't have been able to do it. But his struggle and the pain that I felt for him was like just over and beyond. To see how he was treated and done dirty. And the one part that made my heart smile was when he had that one CO that looked out for him, that, you know, got him a job, that helped him, bought him books, tried to teach him reading and different things like that. It was just so sad. I feel the worst for Corey because he stayed there the longest. He got done the dirtiest. And he was not even supposed to be there. A shame. A shame. Shout out to you, Corey Wise. You are, and you giving back. That's big. Shout out to the all exonerated five. Shout out to Ava DuVernay. Shout out to anybody speaking the truth and seeking the truth. That shit matters. The truth matters, y'all. The truth may not be easy all the time, but the truth matters like hell. Thank you, Ava DuVernay, for putting out this piece and letting the world know about just one. This is just a small droplet of injustice that goes on in the black community. It's just a small droplet. But thank you so much, Ava DuVernay, because you definitely shone light on this situation. And it's at a beautiful time where our young people and the young generation is ready to receive it, hear it, and do something about it and make sure that it won't happen again. Out there making changes. Linda Fairstein, your ass is getting, she's getting dropped from book deals. She's getting taken off of alumni situations. That's what's up. One of the detectives, he passed away. That's karma. That's karma. That's karma for your ass. So we gonna wrap it up, y'all. That was episode 6 of Rolling With It Radio with your girl, Hunter Beauty. We out. We done. We done. I shout out Ava DuVernay for putting out When They See Us. If you haven't seen When They See Us, make sure that you go check it out on Netflix. Make sure you let your kids see it, especially your little brown boys. Make sure you teach your kids, little brown boys, little brown girls, your kids, period. Make sure you teaching them not to admit to nothing to the cops. Make sure you teaching them not to say nothing to the cops. Besides, I need a lawyer. That's the only thing should be in their vocabulary, because we got to put a stop to these kind of situations. And the only way we can put a stop to it is by knowledge and teaching and putting forward better steps. But that's the end. That's the end of the episode. We out. It's Rolling With It Radio. If y'all want to guest host, email me. Hit me up on IG, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook. Just look for Rolling With It Radio. If y'all haven't seen the last episodes, make sure y'all catch up. Everything's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Stitcher, Radio Public, Google Podcasts. What else? Anchor. We just go on and on. We on everything. So like I said last time, ain't no reason for y'all not to be listening, because we are accessible for everything. I see y'all episode 7. It's Hunter Beauty out. Rolling With It, and it's good to be here.